coming in hot today. We're leading strong. Jeff Merrick alongside Brian Burke and Anthony Stewart. We're going to get right to him because he is standing by. His time is at a premium. He is the headline newsmaker around the NHL this week. He's the winner of the Hart Trophy as league MVP, also the Ted Lindsay Award winner as well. He is Leon Draisaitl of the Edmonton Oilers, and he joins us on Hockey Central. Leon, thanks so much for doing this. First of all, I don't know if this is a fair question out of the gate or even if there's an accurate answer for it, but I'll ask it anyway. Is there one that you're more proud of, the respect of the professional hockey writers, which is the Hart, or respect of your peers, which is the Ted Lindsay? If you could only win one, which one would you choose, Leon?
You have to start off with a tough one, eh?
They get easier, don't worry.
Obviously, I'm very proud and you know, fortunate, happy to have won both. But, you know, obviously I respect both both voters, but I mean, you know, obviously the ones from our guys, the guys that you play against every night,
sure,
guys that you play with, just means a lot, you know. Kind of shows me that they appreciate my work and obviously think that I'm a halfway decent player. So that one is special for sure.
Berkey, over to you.
So you just crapped all over the award that I voted you for.
That's all right.
Hey, Leon, thanks for doing this. Congratulations, man.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is very cool. So I've been talking up German hockey for a while. I remember, it's Brian Burke talking, by the way. We spent some time before your draft year because we weren't sure what Edmonton were going to do. This is quite a statement. Seider last year, Stützle this year. German hockey is alive and well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great for a country. You know, there's more and more, especially young kids coming up that you know, have something in the draft. They're supposed to get drafted pretty high, and it's great to see. I think we're a rising country, and yeah, it's fun to be a part of for sure.
Stewie.
Thanks for joining us, Leon. You've gotten better the last 3 years. You've improved your point totals each of the last three seasons. What would be your message to the younger kids who might think, he just got lucky or he's not got a lot of natural talent?
I mean, you know, there's just never a time to stop working, ever. I know I won these awards now, but there's so many things that I need to do better in my game to help us win as a team, and I'm aware of that, and I think that's something that is very important for young kids. You know, having a great year is important, and it's great, and it's great for your confidence, but there's always something that will make you a better player, or there's always something that that you can work on. And you know, I know it's a little bit of a cliche, but it is very true. There's always something that can make you a better player.
Alongside Hart Trophy and Ted Lindsay Award winner Leon Draisaitl of the Edmonton Oilers here on Hockey Central. Leon, the first time I met you was Memorial Cup, Quebec City, your Kelowna Rockets go to the final against the Oshawa Generals. And one of the things during one of your games, I can't remember which, might have been Ramparts or maybe Oceanic, we did a piece. We had one of your hockey sticks on set, and we were marveling at this canoe paddle of a blade that you have, which is, you know, I mean, rivaled only by Pavel Datsyuk. I mean, Datsyuk had sort of the same thing. Have you always used that large a blade? I mean, it looks like it's, you know, most players want a shorter blade, keep the puck in tight. I mean, was that something that you always used, or is that something you sort of discovered, you know, over the years of your career? And what are the challenges and what are the benefits of using a blade that is, to be blunt, that huge?
I call it the burger flipper. My dad, when he played, he used a very similar curve, and since obviously I'm a young kid, I've been using it, and I made it a little longer because I liked you know, my backhand on it, and there's just so many things that I, in my opinion, think are very effective, having a long blade and you know, being able to control the puck. And so, yeah, it's I know it looks weird and awkward at times, but I love it. I've always loved it, and I don't think I'll be changing it anytime soon.
Well, it's working. I wonder, do any of your teammates ever pick it up to try it?
To flip burgers, maybe, yeah. But, no, it's actually pretty funny when you see, like, sometimes after practice or whatever, we switch and you see someone else skating around with my stick, and it just looks so weird. I'm just like, that does not look right at all. So I wonder what I look like.
Well, it's working. Berkey?
So, Leon, you didn't step right into the NHL, and I told the story on TV yesterday, or radio on Monday, that you showed great perseverance and stuck with it. Your first year pro wasn't that much fun.
Yeah, no, not at all. You know, obviously, you come in as an 18-year-old, you think you're ready to play, you're a high pick, you want to play in the NHL, but, you know, it is the best league in the world, and I really saw that in my first little bit. You know, I just wasn't ready. I just couldn't make an impact. And as hard as it was to get sent down in the long run, I think, to be honest, it was probably the best thing that could have ever happened to me.
Stewie?
How is it playing with Connor McDavid? Do you guys have like a friendly competition, or is it more so a rivalry?
No, it's a friendly competition all the way. You know, we push each other. We try to make each other better. I'm happy when he scores. I know he's happy when I score. And, you know, obviously we haven't had much success over the last couple of years, but I think we took a step this year, and it's obviously up to Connor and me now to take the next step and make our team better.
With Leon Draisaitl, the Edmonton Oilers picks up the Hart, picks up the Ted Lindsay. It's been a very nice week for Leon Draisaitl. And you mentioned your father there a couple of moments ago, Peter, who's hockey royalty in Germany, part of the German Hockey Hall of Fame. Great player, great coach as well. As you look back on it now, what sort of advantages do you think that you had, Leon, growing up in that hockey household where dad played and then later coached at the highest levels of German hockey?
I think the most important things that my dad taught me, or the advantage that I had, or other players with hockey dads had, is probably the little things and the mental part of the game. You know, there's so many things in hockey that you have a bad game, you know, it's all about how you respond. And if you don't have someone teaching you that early on, you know, it might be hard to figure that out, or it might take longer. So I think it's just the little things that he's been through, and that I was very fortunate and very lucky to be able to figure out very early.
Berkey?
I think, Leon, a player that fans were pleasantly surprised by this year, tough end to a season, was Ethan Bear. Talk about him. He really made a big step, didn't he?
Yeah, amazing. He's going to be a great player, and he was great this year. I think he's come a long way. He's always had, I think, the skill, but he really put it all together this season. He made our team so much better. I'm really looking forward to seeing him in the next couple of years, because he's a great kid, and he works extremely hard at himself. And I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
Stewie?
How was it playing under Dave Tippett this year, who was considered a defensive-minded coach? How was that, learning a good two-way game? Did that translate into a good offensive game as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, obviously, I think that our team in that regard has a lot of upside and a lot of things that we can learn and get better at. But Tip has put down a structure, and I think for the most part of the year, we followed it and we bought in, and we had a good year. And, you know, huge credit, obviously, to the coaching staff. They came in and, yeah, they did a great job, and they're amazing to work with.
You know, one of the things I can recall talking to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins right around this time last year at the NHL Media Car Wash in Chicago, And I asked Ryan, what do you want this year from your organization? Like, what are you looking for? And the first thing he said was stability. You know, we've had a number of coaches, a number of general managers, a number of players shuffle in and out. It's hard to be a team when there's not that stability all around you, or all around you just seems like chaos and confusion. Did you feel that this perhaps was the first year since you've been with the Oilers that there's been some sense of stability? There's a coach that's not going anywhere. There's a general manager that's not going anywhere. People are cemented into their positions, and that sort of concrete is starting to harden around a lot of people in the organization. Did you feel that this year as a player?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it felt like everyone was in their spot, and we all know that, you know, there's, like you said, there's stability there. And we've had that before with Todd there, and we had a few really good years with him. But, yeah, it feels really good to have that stability coaching-wise, management-wise, and obviously, you know, players and the core-wise as well. So, I think, like I said earlier, it was a good step for us, a good step in the right direction. But, yeah, I think there's a lot more to give from us.
Berkey?
Your thoughts on the finals, Leon? I mean, obviously you would have liked to have gone further, but we're seeing some great hockey. I always like asking star players, what do they think of the finals so far?
Yeah, it's fun to watch. I mean, two very, very good teams going at it, lots of skill. But, you know, again, I think it's the defensive-minded hockey that wins hockey games. I think best example is Dallas for that. Just a solid game all around. And, yeah, look where they're at now. So it's fun to watch, definitely.
You know, just as a sidebar to Berkey's question as well, that Memorial Cup that you were in, I mean, that was Anthony Cirelli, the tying goal, the championship winning goal, all of that.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry to bring it up. When you looked at that, I mean, Cirelli was like tiny in that. I remember I met him in the dressing room. His agent, you know, introduced me to him in the Jenny's room, and I wanted to see, like, where's the rest of you? Like, he was a really small guy. But when you look at him then and look at him now, what are your thoughts on Anthony Cirelli?
Yeah, great transformation. I mean, he was a good player then. I'm not mistaken. I think he scored both goals against that team. And yeah, like you said, he was a smaller guy, but he's a really good player. But I think he took some huge steps as well, and it's fun to watch. He's a great player.
Stewie, last question to you.
I just wanted to ask from like a player's perspective, like what do you do right now with regards to training, not really knowing when the season's going to start? Do you take a month off? Do you take 6 weeks off? Are you on the beach? Are you party hardy right now? Like how difficult is it right now with regards to training, not knowing what the future holds in the short term?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to just manage your summer a little bit differently than maybe in a normal schedule, a normal season. Obviously, I think there'll be still lots of time until the new season is starting back up again. So I think you have to be smart about working out and you know, figuring out a good rhythm so you show up to camp and you're ready to go.
Weren't you in Sudbury for a lot of the summer?
I was, yes, during quarantine. Yes, I was.
How did you enjoy the nickel capital of Canada?
You know what? The weather was actually very nice during that time, so I actually enjoyed it. I had a good time.
That's awesome. Listen, you've given us plenty of time, and listen, you've given us plenty of great moments this year in the NHL. Continued success. Congratulations on the award. Looks great on you, and we wish you nothing but the best success when the NHL gets going next season. Thanks for dropping by.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Leon Draisaitl of the Edmonton Oilers, picks up the Hart and the Ted Lindsay. And Brian, I remember one of the first conversations I had with you when you took over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We were at a Marlies game and we had a chat, and you were going on plenty about German hockey and the rise of German hockey. And I think Uli Heimer would have been the first German in the NHL drafted by the Colorado Rockies back a million years ago. And you look at where, you know, the Germans in the NHL have come from, you know, 1981 with Heimer to, as you mentioned, Moritz Seider last year and Tim Stützle, who may go as high as number two to the Los Angeles Kings. It's been sort of as predicted by you. This is the rise of German hockey in the NHL, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's 85 million people in Germany. And it's a country the size of Ohio and Indiana combined. So it's very densely populated. And they're big athletic people. They're great at other sports. We just had to get them playing hockey, and they've done a really good job. The only quarrel I have with them is they've really put a lot of money back into youth hockey. They've built rinks. Franz Reindl was head of the German Ice Hockey Association. One time I was talking to him in Germany, saying, we've got to come up with a system where a municipality in Canada that wants to buy a rink can get the blueprints done for free and the engineering done for free. And he said, oh, I'll send you all that. We have that in Germany. Mm-hmm. So if you're a small town, if you're Swift Current and you want to build a rink, you don't have to waste $1 million on designing the rink. We'll send you the blueprints on building a green rink, an economically or environmentally sound rink. Anyway, the one quarrel I have is they allow too many imports. So there are fewer young German players on their team. The Swiss, on the other hand, who have been even better than the Germans at developing players, so they only allow two imports. I think four total with EU passports. So it's they're doing a great job in Germany. Switzerland, I think, even a little better. If Germany could change their import rule, they'd produce even more players.
You know, we had Zoom calls yesterday with a lot of the prospects, and Tim Stützle, who's a wonderful, gifted player, probably end up as a center, but right now in the Pro League plays wing. One of my favorite moments, Berkey, from yesterday was when you asked about his size, and he said 89 kilos, and you said something like, well, you have to make it difficult, don't you?
Yeah, which is I think 193 pounds. I did the conversion. Thank God for iPhones.
You were quick on that. I was like,
in England, it's stones.
That's right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you're 11 stones. I'm like, oh, that's pretty light.
German hockey players, Stewie. I mean, we have a number now. You know, Dominic Cahoon, who I believe Leon played with, U16 Mannheim. Tobias Rieder, Kunackle Holzer, Grayson Grubauer, Nico Sturm in Minnesota. Have you played with German hockey players along your way?
I haven't, but I remember playing against Germany at the junior level, and again, they weren't pushovers. Like they played rough and tough hockey. They weren't really afraid to go in the corners. Their talent level just wasn't up to par. But this is 10, 15 years ago, so obviously now it's obviously improved, and I think that's part of it, as Berkey mentioned. You got to have less imports, have more of those National League players playing for their pro teams. So, you know, I like the Germans. Are they just there yet where they can be second overall? I don't know. I think their ceiling this year is second overall, because I'm a big Byfields fan. I think he should be going second to the LA Kings.
Yeah, Byfield's in another outstanding part. He may fall to the Ottawa Senators, which would be one of the big gifts.
Someone said that he might be falling to like 8 or 9, and I want to. I'm going to start taking away some media passes here. I'm coming. I'm going on the warpath here.
There's about zero. Put it this way, something everyone has to keep in mind is this has a sidebar about the draft. And Alexis Lafreniere will go first overall. Rangers hold that pick. We all know that. Quinton Byfield, and Berkey, you've gone through drafts countless times as GMs, and you always look at the birth dates, I'm sure, is almost a full year younger than Alexis Lafreniere. That, to me, if I'm a GM, I look at that and I'm just licking my, to say nothing of the skill set and the size and everything that else Byfield brings, which is outstanding. I look at that and I say, the guy that I want is still a year younger than all these other guys, and namely the guy that's going to go first overall.
Yeah, the age is a significant factor to me. He's virtually a full year younger, and that's for people who are listening who don't understand. That's the birthday cutoff to be eligible for the draft is September 15th, and Byfield just missed it, so he's a year younger than a lot of these guys in the same draft. Anyhow, the only way I can see him, Stewie, not going second is if the team drafts positionally. If they're going to try and deliberately take a defenseman, if Drysdale sneaks in there or someone, that's the only thing. Otherwise, I think you're right.
I'm going to put Berkey on the spot right now. Berkey, it's the Anaheim Mighty Ducks are picking first overall right now. Who are you taking?
In this draft?
Yeah.
I would trade down in this draft.
Trade down for who?
I think you could get two picks in the top 10 for that first pick. And this is this draft is more than 10 players deep.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to say, well, they need a replacement for Ryan Getzlaff. That's where I was going with here, right?
But nope.
Yeah, that's how it was. Nope. In that West, everyone, when I was playing, oh, you need big, strong centers to play in the West. And then now that that center has come, well, you know, we need some more skill.
Well, no, I think in this draft, in most drafts, there's not 10 players deep.
Yeah, there,
in most drafts, you would never trade the first pick overall. And I probably wouldn't, but I would explore it. The difference between Quentin Byfield and Getzlaff is Byfield's a pure skill guy for me, a big-bodied, hard-working skill guy, but I don't see any bite in him. Getzlaff had bite. Getzlaff, he'd spear you right in the private parts, yeah, even as a rookie.
He played with Corey Perry for a while, so I'm sure he learned a lot from him.
Well, we had so much toughness around him. That team was so tough, those kids could get away with anything they wanted. I think Byfield's going to play right away. I like him. I don't see the direct comparison. And I would look into trading down because I like Stützle. Again, video viewing is mostly what I've seen. Byfield can't miss. Stützle can't miss for me. I do believe he's a center, not a winger. Lafreniere can't miss. But I think Drysdale can't miss. I think you get down Cole Perfetti. I think it's a deep draft. So if I had one and I could drop to, say, 3 and 7, and I know those don't align right now, I would look into it.
Jake Sanderson. There's another one who's top 10. You know, Jeff Sanderson's kid, another U.S.-born defenseman who's outstanding. See, to me, one of the, I know it's sidebarring here on the draft, but to me, the most interesting spot in all of this is number 5, because that is Ottawa's second pick. And if you're Ottawa, the common thinking is, okay, so you're going to get either Byfield or Stützle at 3. Take your pick. 5, you have your decision to make. 1, do you just go with a defenseman, Jamie Drysdale or Jake Sanderson? Or do you say, we're probably going to be in the same position next year, back in the top 5. It's a draft year that's loaded with defensemen. Do we get our defenseman next season and go for someone like Jack Quinn, who fills the net for the Ottawa 67s, good, responsible two-way player, probably be a winger in the NHL on the right side, and our right side depth after Drake Batherson is pretty thin? Or do you just say, we have a shot at getting Jamie Drysdale here, we're going to take Jamie Drysdale or Jake Sanderson and go with a defenseman if you're Ottawa? There's a number of different ways Ottawa goes with that second pick. Berkey, what would you do? What would you do? And that, do you look at it and
down.
Say...
Berkey already said what he's doing.
I'm just trading down, picking up picks, you dummies.
Okay, so here's what I do. There's not a franchise player in this draft.
No.
There are some really good players. Lafreniere is really good, a really good player. He's going to be a really good player. He's not Sid. He's not a generation. He's not Connor.
No.
And he's a winger. Byfield is going to be a stud. Drysdale's going to play right away. Stützle is going to play right away. Like, I'm serious about trading down. Like, keep in mind now, when we did the deal for the Twins, it was the worst first round in the history of the NHL. And that's why people were willing to move picks. And that's why we were able to trade up. I would look very hard at trading down in this draft because I think you could drop into double digits to 10 or 11 and still get a guy that would be a meaningful player on your team and get 2 or 3 other assets.
You're not wrong. This one does go deep. That's why pretty much everyone in the first, 15 is getting, you don't start to get question marks. And even like, when we talked to Hendrix Lapierre yesterday of Chicoutimi, who now he's done with all of his injury issues. I mean, you have a wild card in him and you may get him in the low teens or the high 20s. And that guy, you know, if he was healthy last season playing in the QMJHL, would be close to a top 10 pick, many people are saying.
Yeah, what
so
a great
I don't know.
Kid
it's
too.
And he's a wonderful kid. Oh, just great personality. Okay, we thank Leon Draisaitl for stopping by, and congratulations on the heart and the Ted Lindsay. Tonight it's Game 3. It is the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Dallas Stars. Things went well for the Tampa Bay Lightning early, specifically the power play in Game 2, and then they kind of had to hang on as Dallas mounted a comeback. Stewie, what are you looking for tonight between these two teams?
Well, if I'm the Dallas Stars, like, I don't get it. We're in the Stanley Cup Finals, and I know they live and die by the physicality, but I think just to some of their, you know, they're taking runs at guys. You know, someone was showing some clips of Jamie Benn, you know, throwing some kicks, some side kicks at Kucherov now. I think the tone physically has already been set. And I think with Tampa Bay, you sort of got to just get pucks in deep, shout out to Ken Reed, and just play that game down low. Don't get into those sidebar conversations, those sidebar extracurriculars. You know, we saw Perry, you know, putting guys in headlocks and leg locks and getting into it. They got to focus on just playing that hockey. So they got to channel their energy a little bit better. And if I'm Tampa Bay, I just got to keep turning it into a track meet, keep getting traffic in front of the net. That was the main point, the main difference between game two and game one is they had traffic. They had layers. On a lot of those goals, there was two, three, even four bodies in front of that net. Kadoban's not the biggest guy, and when you get that traffic in front of him, it's going to be really tough for him to make those saves because he doesn't have that size to sort of look above and beyond that traffic. So for Dallas, more discipline. Tampa Bay, keep that power play rolling.
Berkey, what do you think tonight?
I disagree only slightly. What I felt the game started, Tampa could not make a clean breakout to save their lives. So they rimmed it, jammed it past the D, or Ariel flipped it out to center ice and didn't recover any pucks. It was all Dallas early in game one. And I thought what they did early in game two, when I thought about the 10-minute mark, I said to David Amber, we were watching together, I said, they got to slow this game down. Stewie's right. They got to attack fast, but they had much better luck when they went D to D, set up, and then attacked as a five-man group. Then they started having success. So to me, this weather the storm early. Dallas likes to get you down early, throw the kitchen sink at you. Just put the weak side D, have them go over on the other side behind the net or at the dots. Go D to D. Now their whole forecheck has flooded the other side. You got options. You can come out with speed. That's what I thought the turning point was. When one, I don't know if it was the coach who handles the D or John Cooper, but they started reversing the puck and they had more success.
And if I'm Kucherov, I keep my head up.
Man,
if I'm Kucherov, I keep my head off.
Just manhandled in that first period, right? Ben and then crashing in the boards with Alexei. Like, it was a tough period. Then he comes out, two assists, and that gorgeous pass to Palat on the power play. Ho-hum. You know, after I get my visor all cleaned up after getting the blue marks on it from getting smashed in the boards. Ho-hum, another couple of points here. We had a break. On the other side, Bill Armstrong is the newly minted general manager of the Arizona Coyotes, now former assistant general manager with the St. Louis Blues. Bill Armstrong joins us here in a moment. You're listening to Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome back to the program. Jeff Merrick alongside Brian Burke and Anthony Stewart. It's Hockey Central on the air Monday to Friday starting at noon. We are standing by for Bill Armstrong, the Arizona Coyotes' newly minted general manager. And before he comes on, always good to get story time from our man, Berkey. Your thoughts on, or no, how about this? What was your first day like as a first-time general manager? Hartford Whalers, Brian Burke, day one. What's going through your head?
You're going to read specifically about day one when my book comes out in 2 weeks.
Nice plug. Give it the title and where folks can pick it up.
Burke's Law, Life in Hockey. No, my first day was kind of unsettling. But I remember driving to work the first day and actually walking from the first day. I stayed at a hotel on the other side of the mall. The rink in Hartford, as you recall, Jeff, was built it was attached to a mall.
Yep.
And so I stayed at the JP, oh, what the hell's the name of the, not the famous rich guy, not the JP whatever, Morgan. It was the JP Morgan. Anyway, the JP something hotel, walked through the mall at 5:30. I always get into work really early. And just being overwhelmed. And I remember one of my first calls was to Harry Sinden, and I was complaining. I said, my team sucks. And Harry said, why do you think they brought you in? I said, why do you think they brought you in? He said, and his exact words were, you always inherit a leaky ship when you're a new GM. You always inherit a leaky ship. Now, not in Tampa Bay this year, but in general, you know, the guy before you has no success, and they fire him, and you come in, and you got to pick the pieces up. With Bill Armstrong, who I really admire, I think he'll do a really good job. hits compounded there because he's got no pecs.
Yeah. This is Stewie, over to you on this one. This is a tough slog for the Arizona Coyotes. I mean, we're all curious to see what ultimately their direction is going to be. They were down the road with Steve Sullivan making some moves, and then they named Armstrong as the new general manager. How do you see the Coyotes going? We'll talk to Bill here in a couple of moments.
Well, I think they got some pretty good foundation here, and it starts with the goaltending and Darcy Kemper, and they got some stud defensemen. They got OEL, who's one of the top D, underrated D in the National Hockey League. So I think they have some work to do on the forwards. Are they going to re-sign Taylor Hall? What are they going to do with some of the other guys here? But also, too, let's not underrate the coaching style of Rick Tocchet. He's a top coach in the National Hockey League. He got the most out of this group. So for me, I think the Arizona Coyotes overachieved just based on the fact that they did have some injuries. Kemper missed a bunch of times. And I think there's room to improve, but I like where they are so far.
Berkey, I'm not sure if it's in your book, but do you discuss your first trade as a general manager in it?
I love that Billy Zito's trying to make a trade days after he took the wheel. I love that. I'm not sure it's going through, but I have to check the dates. What I recall is my first deal was to get Nick Kiprios.
Correct. That was your first transaction.
Yeah, and it was a small one. And Harry Sinden had told me, so make a couple small ones before you make a big one. The first big one I did, though, was that fall, and my normal routine was to wait a year and then make a big splash, but that year I wasn't sure if I'd last a year with the owner, and I barely did, and so I made a big deal with Lou, and we traded Bobby Holik to New Jersey for Eric Weimrich and Sean Burke, and it was a great trade for both teams.
Good deal.
Because Bobby Holik got them into the playoffs, and Sean Burke was our team MVP, and Eric Weimrich was one of our top three defensemen. So, great deal for both teams. But that's, I think Nicky was the first deal, but the one I remember sweating over the most was with a major asset was Bobby Holik.
How many times did you pick up and put down the phone?
Three times. The third time I had the guts to do it. I started to dial Lou. Put the phone down, picked it up, started a dial loop, put the phone down, and a third time. That's God's truth. I was so nervous. Even though I played for Lou, I trusted Lou. I really believed in the deal.
Yeah.
But and I used to walk around the building, too. Like, one beautiful thing about working as a GM is you've got a place to walk, even if it's pouring rain. Mm-hmm. And I'd go out and walk the concourse and think about it, or... First thing I did when I took a GM job was go through the whole building, so I knew where everything was. I'd walk through the building four or five times. Where's that stairway go? Where are the dressing rooms? Where's the jacuzzi? I'd find the thing, and then I'd use the concourse as a place to walk and think about it. Sometimes make Dave Nonis walk with me. So are we doing the right thing here? Does this make sense?
And with that, we'll bring on a new general manager in the NHL to Hockey Central. He is the newly minted GM of the Arizona Coyotes, formerly assistant with the St. Louis Blues. He is Bill Armstrong, no stranger to this part of the country, a very famous double overtime winner for the Oshawa Generals back in 1990 over the Kitchener Rangers, as his Jennies win the Memorial Cup. Bill Armstrong, welcome to the program. First off, congratulations on getting the gig. And secondly, just hearing Berkey talk about walking the concourse as you're thinking about various... How many times have you made that walk in St. Louis specifically?
Yeah, well, I slept really well in St. Louis. Like, Doug didn't sleep that well, but I was able to get all my beauty sleep and everything in. Doug slept 3 hours. I got 10. But when you get into the chair, you just stop sleeping. Like, my first night, I got into the chair, I slept about 3 hours. So, it's... I remember when I worked for Peter Laviolette in the American League, and he didn't sleep very well, and I slept like a baby as the assistant coach. So that's just the way it is.
So we should expect some really deep Louis Vuitton bags under your eyes in the next couple of weeks
that
lack of sleep becomes a reality for Bill Armstrong. I'm going to turn this over to Berkey because I always love hearing general managers talk to GMs. So, Berkey, take it away.
Yeah, hey, Billy, congratulations.
Thanks, Berkey. Much appreciated.
My first year, I went and took time and went to meet with Bob Gainey. And Bob Gainey was the GM of the North Stars, and I just wanted some advice. And he said exactly what you just said. We sat and drank beer on the patio of his yard. His wife was still alive then. And it's a big mistake to drink Bill with beer with Bob Gainey. It's a big mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake. Anyway, he said to me, he said, when you were Pat Quinn's assistant GM, you thought you helped him a lot, didn't you? And I said, yeah, I was the best assistant GM there was in the league. And he said, you didn't help him. You didn't help him at all, because all the weight goes over to you right away, and now you're feeling it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, 100%.
What's first order of business? I see you made a personnel change.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to make sure that we get the right people for us in place that are going to help us move forward. And Berkey, you can identify this as being a GM, is that you live and breathe off your head pro guy and your head amateur guy. Those are the guys that, you know, if you're successful as a GM, those guys are successful below you. Those are two of your key guys that are pulling the trades and helping you at the draft. So, you know, as you come into the chair, you want to make sure you have your people in there that not only are going to help you acquire the right players, but they're also going to produce the right culture underneath you. And that's something I'm pretty familiar with, being in that role too. So for me, I just want to make sure in the next few weeks we get rolling about our structure, how we're going to draft, what we're going to draft, and the same thing on the pro side. And obviously we've got some meetings today, so I'll get updated with some of the personnel and hockey ops with doing their presentations on some of the players and some of the salaries and where we're moving, and give me some idea of what's out there. So it'll be a good, really hard 2 days of meetings.
Anthony Stewart.
Now that you're in the big chair now, are you going to take your time and take the patience approach, or are you planning on improving the roster right away?
Well, it's an interesting roster when you look at it, because what you have is you've got some really good younger players that are just coming into their own, and at the same time you've got some older players that are still producing, but you know they're creeping up on age. So you know we have to go in and decipher on how to create some assets, because before me the regime had lost some draft picks due to some NHL. I guess fines or however they were levied against us, and they took draft picks away. So there's a little bit of a creative way that we have to go and acquire assets to stay in the game and make sure that we're still bringing players in, whether it's college free agents, it's European free agents, or it's through the draft. There's no excuses. I knew it before I took the job. We have to find a way to produce players through different avenues. So we'll be talking about that in the next 2 days too.
How much conversation in your office is there about trying to recoup these picks somehow, some way?
Well, that's a great question. Great question. Would you say go through the NHL, or are you talking about are trying?
No, I'm talking about making moves to get. I mean, this, as you well know, it's a pretty deep draft this year. Next year's a good draft as well, and specifically a lot of defensemen. I mean, how much would you be looking at saying, you know what? We're gonna build this thing up. Best way to do it is through the draft. We need to make some moves to try to get back in the game here.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some room to move with some of the assets that you have on the team. You know, with contracts expiring at the end of the year, and teams would be, you know, excited about taking on some of those players. So we have to explore some of those avenues and during our meetings the next 2 days and put that together and go out there and talk to the other GMs in the league. But really what you have is, you know, you've got to acquire some form of assets. We don't pick to the fourth round, and I personally have to stay out of that draft. That's not my, I can't have anything to do with it. So Steve Sullivan and Scott Walker are going to jump in there and run the draft. But we do have to do that. We've got to stay in the game. And like I said, there's no excuses. You have to find a way, whether you sign a college free agent, a European free agent, we have to find a way to bring players into this organization that are going to move us forward.
Berkey.
You've got a good setup, Army, with your AHL team just down the road. That's worked out pretty well for Arizona.
Yeah. Steve Sullivan's done a marvelous job down there. He's going to stay in place as the assistant GM, and he's got that running really well. So we want to keep that. And I love that fact that, you know, you can be here and you can drive an hour and a half down the road and watch your American League team. You're in the middle of the desert. It doesn't get any better, because now you're seeing all your guys develop down there every night when you go down there to watch, and it's a quick jog up here for them if you need a recall. So it's an unbelievable setup. You know, the one thing that I didn't realize, I was so focused on the job that when I got off the plane, I was like, oh my God, It's a pretty beautiful place. it's a pretty stunning place, I got to be honest. But we're not selling that in the desert because I don't want to hear about the weather. What I want to hear about is you're coming to the desert to win a championship. And it starts from the moment I get in that chair. And, you know, every meeting I've ever run in St. Louis, you know, going back all the way to the days when Jarmo Kekäläinen and I worked, you know, put the Stanley Cup picture. That's the first thing we do every meeting. I'm a big believer in you. You know, you got to see that. That's your goal every day, and it's a hard one to win, but you got to see it every time you run a meeting, and you got to put it in your players' heads. We're here to win.
With Bill Armstrong, general manager of the Arizona Coyotes. So I was with someone from the St. Louis Blues organization the day before you were officially hired by the Arizona Coyotes, and he said, "Who are you hearing about in Arizona?" And I said, "I'm hearing it's your guy." And he was like, pause for a second. He said, "Oof, that's going to be a tough one for us. That's a huge loss." What did you learn? What did you gain from your time with St. Louis?
Well, first of all, I was around such great hockey people. Number one, Doug Armstrong. You know, I thanked him in the press conference. His investment in me to make me the head scout, to make me assistant GM. He is, to me, one of the best GMs in the league, just watching him. But you have to remember, my time in St. Louis, we'd have these meetings or councils or whatever, and you got to think about the people that were in there when you showed up to meet. You know, you got Marty Brodeur sometimes, Larry Robinson would show up. You got Dave Taylor in there. You got Al McGinnis. You got Keith Tkachuk. You know, Doug Armstrong, you know, is in there. It's just a mecca of hockey people, you know. And you know, myself with my experience of coaching and, you know, and in the American League and playing. And then you had Robbie DiMaio, who's in there as a smart guy. Timmy Taylor's one. You know, I think three, you know, Stanley Cups. That's a great room that you're talking hockey. And the one thing I learned about that is, like, when you're discussing situations and trades, you better know what you're talking about because you got greatness around you. You better be prepared in those meetings. And that's the one thing that I learned in St. Louis. The NHL is too big and too complex to one person. You got to have a sounding board and you've got to have great people around you.
Stewie.
You mentioned that you were a big fan of Rick Tocchet growing up, and you have shared acquaintances and colleagues in Craig Berube. How does that affect your relationship now that you're technically his boss?
Well, I think we work together. You know, I've always had that approach with people. I'm not the guy that's going to stand over you. I can, if you need me to, I can do that. I got a little bite too, but for the most part, you know, I was a big fan growing up with Tocchet. I remember skating with him for the first time when I was a kid. Like, I was at power skating clinic with Cindy Bauer. I was like, "Ooh, this is unreal." And just being drafted to the Flyers organization and see him play, my God, he was a great player. But he coaches the same way, and that's what I like about him. And we have mutual friends with Craig Berube in between us, you know. So I don't really know him as well yet, but I plan on meeting him for lunch and going over some things. I think we're going to have a great relationship. Plus, I've coached, so I think I have that ability to know when to approach and when not to and get the emotion out and let's get down to what we need to do. And I think it helps me when I deal with coaches because I know what they're thinking. You know, when you're a coach, you're only seeing today. You know, and when you're in my chair, you're seeing the future. You know, you're seeing the young kids come up and you can read that. When you're a coach, it's hard to see. I remember I had Andrew Raycroft and Nick Boynton in the American League, and they didn't look like NHL players their first year in the American League. You know, and they kept telling me, these guys are going to be good players for you. I'm like, I don't see it, you know? And then all of a sudden you see these kids mature and grow. And that's your job as a GM, is to open their eyes and see a little bit bigger picture than more than just today. This is what the kid's going to do down the future. And if you play him now, he's going to suck for 10 games. But on the 11th game, he's going to get into that role. So that's my job, to kind of, you know, help the coaches see that.
Last one for you here, and I can't let you escape without one junior hockey question. It's going to be the obvious one. Coliseum, Oshawa, Kitchener, 205, second overtime, 4-3 victory, the Generals over the Kitchener Rangers, and you're the hero. How many times have you thought about that goal? And B, how many times has your son said, enough, Dad, I don't want to hear about it anymore?
Oh, this is a great story about my son. We're in the middle of Boston, Massachusetts, where nobody knows about junior hockey coming out of this rink. And my son had all his Blues, St. Louis Blues stuff, and he was unloading it to get in the hotel. And the guy says, "Oh, you're a big Blues fan, huh?" And my son just said, "No, my dad works for the Blues, but I'm a Blues fan." He goes, "Oh, who's your dad?" Bill Armstrong goes, oh my God, he scored the overtime. My son just kept going. He's like, yeah, whatever. You know, like he's immune to that, you know. But I'll tell you, my son plays at BU, you know, and it's torture for him because he hears all the stories, you know, the winning and, you know, and the Calder, you know, he's heard them all. So he's a pretty driven kid, you know, and he was in the bean pot last year and they're in overtime and he had a chance to end it and he missed it. You know, and I was like, oh, man. I'm like, you know, he's like, you can see what I came out to the lobby to end up losing against Northeast. He's just head down, you know, I'm like, buddy, just hang in there. You just keep throwing him, you'll get one of them. So it's, it's good. And he loves the game of hockey. So it's, he's had enough of the stories, though, that's for sure.
Time to make his own. Listen, we wish you all the success with the Arizona Coyotes. Thanks so much for stopping by. Best of luck. You know, draft on the horizon. You mentioned Sullivan running it, but best of luck going forward with the dogs in the desert. Thanks so much for this, Bill.
Thanks, guys. Great talking to you. Take care.
There he is, Bill Armstrong, general manager of the Arizona Coyotes. We're heavy on time, but Berkey, when we come back, I want to ask you what would you define success with the Arizona Coyotes right now? That question, Berkey's answer, Stewie weighs in as well. Hockey Central continues. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Seconds here, but I want to get to Stewie's thoughts on Dreisaitl. But quickly, what is a win for the Arizona Coyotes in the short term with Bill Armstrong, Berkey?
It's a terrible answer. It's going to depend on their budget. I don't think they're going to spend the cap. I think he's going to be forced to move some money. They're going to struggle through a draft with no choices. It's going to be a tough first year.
All right, and we thank Bill Armstrong for stopping by. We thank Leon Dreisaitl for stopping by to kick off the program. Stewie, your thoughts on the German Hart Trophy winner?
No, here's a guy that's probably had 500 points in the last two seasons. He's talking about getting better every single day. So that's my message to the kids. You may be on top of the world now, but continue working because there's other players that are going to come in that want to be better than you. Work on your craft every day.
Absolutely. And tonight, Game 3, as the players get back to their craft, our pregame program gets underway at 7:30 on Sportsnet. Ron McLean is your host for Hockey Central. Series all tied at 1, 8 o'clock Eastern on Sportsnet and CBC. Game 3, the Bolts and the Stars. Smith and Jones next.